And just full of venom and hate for one another. Even our kids. We got, listen, folks, the child abuse in this nation is incredible. We got a home for girls in Tallahassee. You wouldn't believe what them kids have gone through. You sit down and listen to them, you say, I don't believe that. But it's true. Just animals. All right. So now let's go to the church at Smyrna. Let's see what it says. Well, let's just read it. Write to the angel of the church of Smyrna and say, here is the message of the first and the last. Okay, that's Jesus. Who was dead and has come to life. That's Jesus. I know the trials that you've had and how poor you are. Though you are rich, oh my goodness, here's a church that's poor, but they're rich. Listen to this. And the slanderous accusations have made by people who profess to be Jews, but are really members of the synagogue of Satan. Don't be afraid of the suffering that are coming to you. I tell you, the devil is going to send some of you to prison to test you. And you must face an ordeal for 10 days. What's 10 days? An incomplete period of time. 7 is complete. So 3.5, 10, anything that's not 7 is an incomplete period of time. It might be a day, it might be 2 days, it might be your whole life. An incomplete period of time. Even if you have to die, keep faithful. This church obviously doesn't have to repent. It's poor. And folks, when it's poor, you know what poor is? According to Scripture, they were starving to death. This church didn't have to repent. Now, would you say that we belong to that church? Would you say our church is poor? Would you say we're suffering? You know what we're suffering in? Our selfishness. That's the only thing we're suffering in. Would you say we were starving to death? So, obviously, then, we don't belong to this church. Okay. And it says there, if anyone has ears, let them hear. The Spirit is saying to the church, those who prove victorious, there is nothing to be afraid of it in the second death. We've had our first death. Our second death is for life forever. Nothing to be afraid of. And we're all afraid of death, aren't we? All right, let me go on. It says, Pergamon. Let me just... Nevertheless, I have one or two complaints to make. Some of you have followed the follower... you have followed Balaam. Do y'all know the error of Balaam? Y'all ever heard of Balaam? Let me just give you a brief rundown on Balaam. Balaam was a prophet of God. He was a preacher for Israel. And there was a tribe. You got to understand that that out of the house of Abraham, there came Isaac and Ishmael. Isaac was the son of Abraham and Sarah. Am I right on that? And Ishmael was the son of the servant girl that lived...
Hagar.
Okay. From that camp came the Moabites and the Hittites. They were enemies of Israel. They were enemies against Isaac. Okay? And the Hittites and the Moabites were camped out in another part of the country. And here sits Balaam. He's a prophet of God. He has come from the house of Israel. He's come from Abraham. He's a descendant of Isaac and known down the line. And he's a prophet of God. And one day the Moabites sent a contingent of men to Balaam. And they said, Balaam, would you come and prophesy against Israel? Would you come and condemn Israel? Now think about it. Just like us being Catholic And the church across town said, would you come over to our church and condemn Rome and the Pope and the priest and the Eucharist? Would you come and do that? And Balaam said, well, let me pray about it. Folks, I'm going to tell y'all, you folks hang around, you know, and I don't get upset at me when I say this. I'm convinced we pray ourselves out of a lot of things. I can't see Peter running around praying all the time for everything he wanted to do. He made a decision and did it. Paul made decisions and he did it. He always operated in love. See, that's the way you know that you're right, is when you're willing to suffer without retaliating. Then you know you don't make a mistake. You don't have to pray about a lot of things that we pray about. And this is what Balaam's problem was. He went in and he got down and he prayed and he said, God, can I go and prophesy against Israel? And he's a prophet of God for Israel. And God said, Balaam, don't go. He come out and he said, I'm sorry, but go tell your leaders that God has spoken and I can't prophesy against my own people. And so they boogied off. Now, it weren't long that they came back in their stretched limousine. The flags are waving. The big guns got out and said, Balaam, we need you. You ever been needed? We need you. I've had people go, we need you in our church. I'll make you assistant pastor. I said, we need you, Balaam. Balaam said, oh, I'm needed. Now see, the Israelites didn't like him. They always killed the prophets. Balaam would go preaching to the people of Israel. You know how they treat them. They killed all the prophets. So Balaam was in his own hometown preaching. They didn't like him. And so when somebody came up liking him, he said, oh, man, look at him. It's like, you know, your next door neighbor, your husband's just giving you a rough time. Your next door neighbor comes out and says, why, you good looking, you're a sweet thing. You go, This is exactly what went on. They, and buddy, they did it up big. Brought all their camels. And they said, Balaam, we need you. And he says, wait overnight and I'll pray again. Well, that a sucker's already heard from God. What does he have to pray again for? You've already heard. But he goes in and he gets down and he said, God, they need me. And I want to go. You know what God said to him? Balaam, go ahead. I'm going to tell somebody, listen, folks, I'm going to tell you, people today are getting divorced because they've prayed to God 100 times and God finally said, well, go ahead and divorce you. You know that? You can pray up whatever you want to God. I'm going to tell you wonderful people something. God will give you whatever you want. It's scary. I'm going to tell you to deal with God is the trim. I have to be extremely careful what I ask for because I know it's coming. I mean, it's on the way. And people have prayed and prayed. God spoke to me and told me to leave the church. Well, of course they prayed and they said, yeah, God said, well, go ahead. The error of Balaam is compromised. My dear brothers and sisters, we've compromised everything. We've compromised our faith. We've compromised our stand. We've compromised our love. We've compromised the world. And you know that Balaam, when he jumped on his ass, he said, let's go. Notice that he didn't get in a stretch limousine and ride with the big dudes. He had to ride his own jackass over there. Don't ever expect to be treated on the other side of the fence any better than you're treated on this side. The grass is not greener. It's just as coarse and just as hard over there as it is over here. We're always looking for some easy way. It ain't no easy way. It's a decision way. And Balaam got to beating his jackass because his jackass rubbed him up against a stone wall and rubbed him over in the briar, just going crazy. And Balaam said, why are you stupid jackass? What's wrong with you? And he said, Balaam, what are you doing to me? I've never mistreated you before. the donkey talked to Balaam. And all of a sudden, Balaam's eyes opened up, and there was an angel standing before the donkey with a big sword and told Balaam, said, if that donkey would have took one more step, I'd have cut your head off. God desires to protect us from the falls and the wickedness and the snares of the devil. But you know what Balaam did? Even after he knew that an angel was trying to stop him, he went right on anyhow. How hard-headed we are, folks. That's the error of Balaam. Hard-headed as goats. I'm going to have it my way. Beat my jackass whether he likes it or not. Get on over there. I'll show him. Don't like me no how. I'll go where they like me. Y'all listening to this? Now, folks, you can understand this. You can understand this. I'm going to tell you what. When Balaam got over there to the Moabites, he never prophesied against Israel. And let me tell you wonderful people something. Israel, that has always had prophets, stood up and looked at their leader, had left the church and had walked over into the enemy's camp. And they said, well, if it's all right for Balaam, it ought to be all right for us. And the Israelites begin to filter over and they begin to have an incestual relationship. And they begin to intermarry and sin entered into the church. And folks, it's no different today. We have walked away from the sacraments that God has set up for us. We've walked away from the Eucharist. We've walked away from the marriage sacraments. We've walked away from our baptismal sacraments. And we wonder why we're in trouble. We've compromised. Doesn't feel good, doesn't taste good, doesn't look good, I'll get another one. And we walked out of the church into the world. Haven't we? We have. I'm going to tell you, you can't tell the church from the world. We've compromised. We're not willing to die. Folks, I'm going to tell you, this is a big message. And it's so simple. And what we've got to do is just decide where we are. And how is my church sitting in all this? Because God is complete in me. 777. Because I've been filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, am I going to take a stand and live by His words where I can go before the Lord and say, Lord, Lord, He'll say, come on in, my good and faithful son. Or am I going to go and say, depart from me, I don't know you. You weren't willing to love nobody. You prophesied, you preached, you healed the sick, you did all these things, but you were retaliating. You were slam dunking everybody you seen. Balaam wound up, the Moabites killed him. But he never prophesied against Israel. But that example was that Israel, the church, the chosen of God, and that's who we are, aren't we? Let's all say yes.
Yes.
They looked and saw that their priest, their prophet had left. Was over there having a good time. And they said, well, why don't we go too? And they did. And so we see the error of Balaam. Now, let's go to the next church. Nevertheless, I have a complaint to make. I'm at Thyatira. How you pronounce that?
Thyatira.
See, you can tell I haven't been in this too long. But I'm going to tell you, when I read it, I said, my God, look at this. Isn't this something? I said, I understand that. You know what the adultery that was committed? It was the church going into the world. That was the adultery. It wasn't a man and a woman living together. Now, that probably happened, but it was the church walked out into the world. Nevertheless, I have a complaint to make. You are encouraging the woman Jezebel, who claims to be a prophetess. And by her teaching, she is luring my servants away to commit the adultery of eating food which has been sacrificed to idols. Now, folks, y'all read about Jezebel? You read about Balaam. Now, here we got two examples. We've got Balaam that walked out of the church. All right? And we got the church sitting over here, and we all know that Jezebel, she was a prostitute. She just you know, let it all hang out. And the church invited her in. Remember that? She took over. And she taught the church seductive ways. Hate your enemy. Don't bless those that curse you. Don't give to anybody that asks. Be selfish. Be arrogant. Be full of pride. Balaam walks out of the church and the church says, okay, Jezebel, we'll let you in. Isn't that what we've done? We've let Jezebel in our church. We're not united. We're not committed. Do you know if this church was united, that I'd be... the ministry that God's given me, and I know that God gave it to me, because folks, you're looking at one of the stupidest guys in town. I'm going to tell you, I never learned to do this. Do you know, with this gift that I've got, I've been all over the world preaching, and do you know, I've not must... this message ought to be preached on every television station, every radio station. It ought to be in every printed book. I mean, it ought to be out there. Do you know, I can't get enough people to unite to do it? Just won't do it. And people they've recognized you. God's given you a great gift. I said, well, I just want to use... all I want to do is use it. But I can't use it without the church. But the church has been seduced to the point of selfishness that they just can't seem to get out of Jezebel. And that's all she'll ever bring. Jezebel will never bring anything but selfishness. That's adultery. Selfishness. Arrogance. Pride. Conceitedness. I'm Roman Catholic. I'm going to heaven and you ain't. So those are something that... what we've got to do is start bringing this gospel into the everyday activity that we do. And this is no different. If we don't bring it into the presence of our very now, we'll never understand it. It'll always be something that happened years ago, and it will never mean anything to us today. But everything that's going on here is affecting old Charlie Osborne, because I'm the church. And I've either got a Jezebel in me, or I've got a Balaam in me, or I've lost my love. And we'll go on and see what else happens. Sardis. Okay. Let's see what it says here. Wake up, receive what little you have left. It is dying fast. What's dying fast? Their love. That's the only thing that dies in us, is our love. So far, I have failed to notice anything in the way you have lived that my God could possibly be perfect. Did I read that right? Wake up and receive what little you have left. It is dying fast. So far, I have failed to notice anything in the way you live that my God could possibly call perfect. How are we perfect? We forgive one another. We love our enemies. We bless those that curse us. So what they're saying here says, we just don't see in that any of you. And that's what perfection is. That's the way we're perfect, as God is perfect. We forgive one another. It's the only way you can be perfected. We stand reconciled to one another. And yet you do not remember how eager you were when you first heard the message. Hold fast to that. Repent. If you do not wake up, I shall come like a thief without telling you at what hour to expect me. Let's see. Does it say anything in here what they did? Oh, I know all about you, how you have a reputation to be alive, yet you're dead. All right. We have a reputation in our church of being alive, don't we? We come to Mass every Sunday, don't we? We have a parking lot fills up and the place will just pack out. We've got a reputation of being alive. We come to the Eucharist, we eat the body and the blood, and we go through our holy rituals, and we raise our hands sometimes, and we respond to the words that are written. Jesus said, you've got a reputation of being alive, but yet you're dead. You're not loving unconditionally. You have refused to not suffer without retaliating. It's all of what it boils down to. See, the only way you can understand any of the Scriptures is to go to the Sermon on the Mount and understand the message that Jesus brought to us. And all of this just absolutely explodes. Everything in here. All right, let's go to the next church, Philadelphia. Here's the message of the holy and faithful ones who had the keys of David. Let's see. Let's find out where it says, I have something against you. Maybe that was a church that didn't need to repent. Huh?
There's two that didn't.
Okay, Philadelphia, and what was the first one?
Smyrna.
Those are the two churches that didn't have to repent.
By the way, in the modern world, those are the only two churches that are left out of the seven.
That's right. Well, see, that's the body of Christ, those two churches. Now, let me say, okay, while you've mentioned that, listen to this. You know the two prophets that are later mentioned that are laying dead? The two prophets are these two churches. These two churches did die. Satan overcame them. Oh, Satan overcame all of the churches. Every church, Satan overcame it. These two churches lay dead in the street. The whole world is gazing on it. The whole world is looking at our churches today, gazing on it. And I'm absolutely convinced that out of this church, this is a church that's going to come alive as a body. The prophet is going to be raised up, and we're going to preach like you never heard preaching before. Okay, the last church. Then we're going to close. Let y'all go home. Laodicea. Okay, it says, here is the message of the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the ultimate source of God's creation. I know all about you, how you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were one or the other, but since you're neither, but only lukewarm, I will spit you out of my mouth. Who is God talking to? Now, wait a minute. Who is the church?
Me.
Okay. Now, what we need to do is look at this and see what it is. It says, you say to yourself, I'm rich. I've got plenty of insurance. I'm on my way to retirement. I've got hospitalization. I've got catastrophic insurance. My pantries are full. My cupboard is full. My refrigerator's full. The house rent's paid. We own the cars. I mean, everything's paid. You say, oh, we finally made it. I have made a fortune. I have everything I want. Never realizing that you are wretchedly and pitifully poor. Whew. Boy, I'm going to tell you, that's a stroke, isn't it? I just think I found me. And blind and naked, I warn you, buy from me the gold that has been tested in the fire. Gold, the Holy Spirit, the fire of God. Get from me some fire that'll turn you from the overwhelming gluttonous attitude that we have in this world, in this country. Now, I want to ask you wonderful people a very simple question. In reading this, would you say in America, and I'm just going to use this as a hypothetical situation, I'm talking about the church in the United States, would you say that we are hot for God, loving our enemy, doing good to those that hate us, blessing those that curse us, praying for us, or would you say that we're cold, or maybe lukewarm? Well, which one do you think we fit? Okay, let's say it. Okay, in other words, let's look at it like this. A lukewarm person is a person that says that there is a God, there is a Jesus, there is a Holy Spirit. We come to church on Sunday and we worship Him, we glorify Him, and we receive Him, but we refuse to love our enemies. We recognize that there's God. Now, would you say that that's hot, lukewarm, or cold? Okay. Now, let's take another country, Russia. Would you say that Russia is hot for Jesus, lukewarm for God, or cold? Now, I want to read this to you again and let you just soak in on some stuff that may shock you. Here's the message of the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the ultimate source of God's creation. I know all about you, how you're neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were one or the other. You are neither hot nor cold. You're lukewarm. And what you've just said, that in this country we give God a great lip service, but we'll kill you in a heartbeat, sister. And if that old man don't like it, I'll divorce that sucker and have another in a couple of weeks. Ain't that right? Isn't that the attitude we've got? Do you know in this nation we're praying for Russia, for the conversion of Russia? Do you think there might be a little element of pride in that? When we're worse off than they are? When we're bigger hypocrites than they are? See, they don't even claim that there's a God. They say there ain't none. And you know why they say that today? Do you know? Because of our church in Russia, because of our affluent attitude and the hierarchical bleeding of the poor uprose and said, we don't believe in God no more. If that's God, you take your big, fat, fancy bishops and your hierarchical structure and slam dunk it. They don't even believe in God. God said, I'd rather have you like that than to be playing the game. See, we're playing the game, and I'll tell you what'll happen. I'll tell all of you folks today what'll happen. We'll elect a Pat Robertson who loves God, and he prays in tongues, and he'll kill you faster than you can blink your eye. And we wonder why Adolf Hitler became so popular in Europe and was able to kill 6 million people before he could be stopped. He was a Christian, a Lutheran. 38% of his army was Roman Catholic, 42% were Lutheran. It was Christians that killed the Jews. No love in their heart. And we're sitting on the verge of redoing the whole thing all over again, all in the name of God. I've heard the biggest evangelist on our nation's television say they pushed the button to blow up Russia. I'm going to tell you that is absolutely an abomination to God. How dare us in our rich, aristocratic pride and attitude pray for somebody that's better off than we are. Much rather you have you, if you're not hot, I'd rather you be cold. Don't be lukewarm. Don't play this game. Don't go around saying, Jesus, 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 killing people. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, not do what I say? My dear brothers and sisters, it's that serious. And sometimes, you know what I feel like? I feel like a total, complete stranger in this world. I feel like I'm almost like, dear God, can anybody hear? I almost feel like even in this church, I feel like a stranger. I stand up and preach and I feel like a total stranger. And folks, this message is this simple. I'm going to turn you over right quick to the 13th chapter. And I'm going to read something. Anybody have a New International Version? NIVs? Anybody have an NIV Bible? I'd like to read this out of the NIV if you got one. Well, the new NIV says it just exactly like it comes out of the Greek. But I'll read it to you. I'll read it to you the way it's supposed to be read. I'll start with the 16th. Let's see. We're talking about the beast. There's a beast that comes out of the sea that blasphemes God, and there's a beast that comes up out of the land that looks like a lamb. It looks like God, but it speaks like a dragon. There's people in the world today that just absolutely blaspheme God. And then there's another people that looks like God. We go to church on Sunday, we do all the religious things, but we talk like the devil. We kill one another. We abort 25 million babies. In 15 years. child abuse, millions of kids killed and run away from home at very early ages. We look like God. We do godly things, but we speak like a dragon. Those are the two beasts. Now, I want you to listen to this. It says, he compelled everyone, small and great, rich or poor, slave or citizen. See, that's the fall of all the church. To be branded on the right hand and on the forehead. Now, let me ask you a question. Where are we to put on Jesus? In our minds, in our foreheads. Where's our minds located? Would you say it's right there? We've got two things that will work for God and two things that will work for the world. Our hands and our minds. Our mind and our time. We spend our hands and the time of our mind. Our mind from our heart. The mind speaks. Our heart speaks. The Holy Spirit speaks. And we go around doing the things of God. Laying on hands. So we will be marked in our mind and in our hand. Small, great, rich, poor, slave, citizen, to be branded on the right hand, on the forehead, and make it illegal for anyone to buy or sell anything unless he's branded. Now, I want to ask you wonderful people something today. For you to buy and sell, don't they have laws and rules and regulations for you to buy and sell? What did Jesus say when he came into this world? Freely you have received, now do what?
Freely.
We're not busy giving, are we? I'll tell all of you, I didn't know 10 years ago when God called me to start giving away everything I owned. I didn't understand that. I never understood that everything that I'd ever gotten had come from God, and it was only through giving that God could ever reveal to me the true nature of Jesus in this world. It's through giving, it's not through selling. You can't sell something and receive the wisdom and knowledge of God. It's through giving. Being a servant never sells. He's always giving, giving his time and his mind. Giving his time and his mind, giving his energies. And folks, what we've done, we've branded ourselves and we're buying and selling, doing business as usual. Jesus said, when I come back to this world, business will be going on as usual. Buying and selling. You know, Jesus never sold anything. Folks, this is heavy. You know, the early Christians for the first 300 years didn't sell anything. They were branded, buddy. And when they found them, they killed them. They ate from hand to mouth. One day at a time. They never had anything stored up. They never had anything laid back. They weren't allowed any insurance. They weren't even allowed property. They didn't have hospitalization. When got sick, he died if they weren't healed. Y'all understand that? Y'all see how difficult it is for us to get into this? Nobody wants it. Well, now, there's got to be a balance in this thing somewhere. The balance is the cross. Are we willing to pick up the cross and follow Jesus? If we pick up the cross and follow Jesus, we'll love our enemy. We'll do good to those that hate us. We'll bless those that curse us. And we will be generous. The fruits of the Spirit will be manifest coming out of us everywhere. And make it illegal for anyone to buy or sell anything unless he is branded with the name of the beast or with the number of the name. There is need for shrewdness here. If anyone is clever enough, he may interpret the number of the beast, which is the number of mankind, 666. It's imperfect. And folks, until we enter into 777, we're in the 666. We've already been branded. Don't wait for somebody to come and stick something up your forehead, walk around up and down. In this same book of Revelation, it says God will brand His people in the forehead. Well, we'd be branded with the mind of Christ. Folks, this is simple. This thing's so simple. I said, dear God, we've already got it. And they're walking around, beware of the beast. The Antichrist is coming. That sucker's been here all along. If you just read it, listen to this. He said, I tell you this, you can tell the spirit that comes from God by this. Every spirit which says the same words that Jesus said has come from is in the flesh is from God. But any spirit that will not say this of Jesus is not a spirit of God, but a spirit of Antichrist. The spirit of Antichrist has been here all along. It came when Adam and Eve. When Adam and Eve sinned, the spirit of Antichrist against God came into the world. Cain slew Abel. Jesus came and restored His church back to what Adam was before he fell from grace. He filled him with love. He took hate out of his heart. He put generosity, love, compassion, mercy, and He put the Spirit of God into him just like He had it before he ever fell from grace. And that's the church of Jesus Christ. It's real. It's alive today. And I'll tell all you wonderful saints something. The body of Christ is not broken. It's not sick. It's healthy. It's well. And it's complete. Now, there's people coming into it every day. All they do is add to the completeness. It's already here. It's finished. It's over. And all God's waiting on is that the day of grace that you've got the opportunity to come in. You've got that opportunity to come in. And God's just waiting. And I'm convinced that He's going to raise up preachers that will preach this with zeal and authority and understanding and commitment and dedication right to the death. And I'll tell you, if you preach this message long enough, if I ever get strong enough in this message, if I ever get as strong as Jesus was in this message, they'll kill me.